All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, I have corrupted the internet.
I mean, was there that much further you had to? How much work did that actually involve?
I don't mean corrupted like a sexy fallen nun.
Like morally?
I scrambled it all up. I spilled a cartoon soda on a specific wire.
All right.
And everything. So the takeaway for this is that all of my interests, you know, the algorithm takes things I'm interested in.
Of course.
Puts them there. My internet browsing history has become very random, and I've stumbled upon a mashup of the comedy Twitter account, Drill, a.k.a. Oh. Wint.
Okay.
And It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, a show I've been rewatching.
Okay. All right.
So I figured I would just find a random tweet here and see if it suggested a game.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm here. This will be easy to edit the sound for.
Just clicking.
Just clicking. Okay. If you click real loud next to the computer, I won't even need to go grab a file for it. Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Is that coming through?
Yeah.
Oh, here's one. It looks like Drill, but he's wearing a Patty's Pub shirt.
Okay.
And it says, people are always talking about mansplain. Not enough people are talking about Max Payne.
Hey, the game computer's going. But Gary, we did a WAF about Max Payne.
Oh, it's a smaller font.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a smaller version of Max Payne. They made one for Game Boy Advance. Let's just do that.
I like to think of it as being scale, and it's just you're piloting a tiny little Max Payne around.
it's just a tiny little Max Payne that he keeps in his pocket.
Yeah, he's just a little guy.
Don't talk to him or his son ever again. It was the worst thing he could have imagined.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering, the last bulwark against full guppy energy.
Is it? There has to have been guppy energy that has gotten through in here.
Oh yeah. Every time I'm mean to you, that's guppy energy.
Okay.
And every time you're mean to me, it's guppy energy.
Is that what it means? Just uncalled for cruelty? Is that guppy energy?
That's those damn Ross kids. It's more sophisticated okay. than that cruelty.
Yeah,
I would say it's slightly dumber.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last bulwark. Well, I can't argue with this person. They're not here. I guess for a second I thought that was you saying that. This week we're talking about the Game Boy Advance port of Max Payne.
Can I give you an example of guppy energy?
Yes.
Real quick. It's not me just saying that because I did my job and actually put out the call for new intros. Unlike somebody who's been waiting to do a thread for new outros.
Unlike somebody.
That would be some guppy energy.
a legitimate criticism. So guppy energy is that Kermit, is the Kermit meme with him drinking the Lipton and the, but that's none of my business. Is that guppy energy?
It's hard to explain. It's more like I know it when I see it.
Okay. So it's not just garden variety passive aggression is the thing.
No, sometimes it's just aggression.
Okay.
A lot of the time. People who don't know, this is referencing the other explicit comedy show.
Yes. Everything
that
got me
with Will.
With you and Gary's friend Will. Yeah.
Yes. We want to, Will keep saying to talk to you about having you back on. So you got a guest on one of those at some point.
You have to trick me into doing it is the thing.
I told him that, but he's just like, ask him. So we can put a bunch of, you know, I don't know, abduction ROMs under a box with a stick and a string. Or you can just agree to it and it'll be fun.
I can just agree to it and then we can set a time and I can be there and then we can just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm like, happy. Yeah. I'm happy to do that. I like Will. You're okay.
It's really upset. It really upsets the balance in a real fun way.
What does being there says chaotic energy. It's real. You mentioned It's Always Sunny. It's real when the gang was taken hostage and D kept on switching sides. it's real that the power dynamic is so in flux that at like who is turned on who at any given moment can just doesn't matter. It is unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. But in the end, it's right.
this is the Max Payne port. This was a patron demand from Vidyasaur, who said a bizarre but not completely bad port of Max Payne. And I would put this kind of in the same bucket, or at least the same neighborhood as the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater Game Boy Advance ports, where it's a technical marvel. But the limitations of the system necessarily make it a compromised and different experience, let's say.
I don't want to do action in isometric.
No.
Like kind of never. You know, I'll play a Baldur's Gate and move around little men.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do an action in that form.
Right. My worry about this is not so much like isometric, because they do the right thing and they have Spike Lee direct a movie about a riot. No, they do they do the good thing and they don't like force you to do diagonals to run in cardinal directions, which is nice. But my problem with this is it's way too zoomed in. I was having fun like running around. It was like nice and fast. It was, you know, neat going into bullet time, even in that little format. But every time I died, it was because I was being shot from like two screens over and I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a truth shooting contest. It has problems. Like the level design does not lend itself very well to not being able to see behind your guy.
Yeah.
It is, however, incredibly impressive all over, not just in terms of like moving your little guy around, but also in terms of just having the voice acting and cutscenes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. No, I was impressed by that too. And it wasn't even like overly compressed. I can imagine this sounding okay coming out of the little speakers or coming out of headphones.
Yeah. Very impressive.
Yeah.
No real reason to play this over regular Max Payne.
Mm-hmm.
I think like my need for Max Payne on the go has never been lower.
Right.
Like
you're at the nadir.
I'm a fan of those games.
Yeah, but, they're good games is the thing. They're good enough games to like make it make sense to try to play them in the intended format, let's say.
Or like a Steam Deck will come out.
Yeah.
And I can see rolling through Max Payne 1 again.
Yeah, a Steam Deck will come out and you either pay five times retail or wait until 2025 when it's obsolete.
Yeah, either one. only two options, both of which are good to me. But just right now, just the idea of... Because I played all of those PC ports on GBA. Like, I got Doom.
Yeah.
Like, the GBA Doom and all that stuff, just to play Doom. But it's just not a great version of it. And no matter... It can get close to it and be kind of impressive,
but
just, you know, compromises when you don't have to make them, they lose all of their power.
Yeah. The Game Boy Advance generation specifically is real weird because there was a lot of it that was amazing at the time, but it's difficult to kind of go back to, you know? Mm-hmm. So like they were accomplishing marvels, and it's just, you know, I think more than other stuff, it feels primitive going back to it.
Like when the first time you played Circle of the Moon,
right?
You know, like it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you even know, just like oh shit,
it was super impressive to have a Mario Kart. Like that Mario Kart version that they had on there was real good. And by the time that came out, Mario Kart was a 10-year-old game, but that was still, you know, something that was that quote unquote 3D still felt like a real console experience kind of thing. Having it on the on the handheld was like a legit wonder.
Handheld Super Nintendo.
Yes.
Like just felt incredible.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now I'm rare.
Yeah.
You know history is proven it. And I'm not enough of a historian to like force myself through this. Like other people will do that.
I would be curious, like, how do they do the dream sequences? you know, like mm-hmm. some of the more weird kind of things. But then I think, no, I'm not going to play that because I would eventually have to do that bad stealth mission where you just have the lead pipe, you know, if they brought that over. Yeah. And then it's like, not for me. Thanks. I will just be happy admiring this from arm's length distance, you know?
Yeah. One of the things, looking up stuff about this did for me is, I've been having a hard time understanding whether my brain is decaying or if there are just aspects of like the job that make it like that, because
okay.
your job, you know, we cover a lot of media, a lot of games and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I watched the Max Payne movie. Like, I know I did.
Uh-huh.
There's evidence of it.
it's on the, it's on the adaptation decay feed. Yeah.
I have a specific, still in my mind of him jumping out of like a wooden second floor building and their evil, like angel things.
Yeah.
Trying to pull him off of it. But that's it. there's nothing else there. In that section, like, and I just don't know if I'm literally just like my brain is turning into boomer cheese or if it's an aspect of the job, like my brain, you know, like when one of the reasons why all the productivity stuff is like make lists, because you don't have to have the mental overhead
right.
remembering what you're going to do. You can reference this external thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just using the network as this external thing and dumping all of my memories just to hundreds and hundreds of games, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of movies and TV shows, I'm just dumping into the network and my brain is just like, I guess I'll think about, you know, whatever the dumb shit I think about is nothing.
And so I think I don't want to say that nothing is happening because of the job, you know, because we talk about the, you know, the memory problem, especially about things that we discuss, you know, people mm-hmm. come back to us with things that we said, you know, we're just kind of always churning through content. And, you know, can't dwell on that good line that we had because, you know, got to work on the next thing. Right.
Yeah.
I think that the only reason that the job, it, you know, either it feels like this is the job or it feels like you're forgetting more than anything is because a great proportion of the media that you consume is for the job. You know, not saying mm-hmm. you watch other things outside of it, but like a, you know, a regular person, a civilian, let's say, who doesn't sure. live the life.
Civvies.
Yeah,
civvies. I consider people who are not enlisted in the Podcore.
Yeah.
To be civilians.
Cattle, basically. Just empty-eyed, yeah. walking around aimlessly, being led.
Yeah, NPCs.
Yes.
Is what
yes.
we call them in the industry.
I mean, how we refer to people when we're you know, just talking privately off mic.
Yeah. We don't do that on air. We've historically tried to maintain a respectful veneer.
Yeah.
But really it is a co-op game, and honestly, I'm not totally sure you're not played by a computer.
Right. Right.
I think it's drop in, drop out.
So. Yeah, no, I only know five people and they just switch around. Forget. So a regular person we went off on that riff. A regular person will watch a forgettable movie, right? There are any number of people who have seen the Max Payne movie and like remember like, oh yeah, that was some bullshit or whatever. And they would only remember Mark Wahlberg jumping out of a wooden building and maybe something with demons or something. I think maybe Mila Kunis was there, you know.
Mila Kunis like, hangs out during
Yeah. She's just kind of there being like maybe Russian, maybe not. It's hard to tell. I think that it's just Max Payne is a real forgettable movie, you know.
Yeah.
And that's
a big part of it too. And we've watched a bunch of similar movies. Like there's not that big a difference between the Max Payne movie and the Hitman, Timothy Oliphant Hitman movie.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty similar in terms of movie experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, you know, any number of people, you know, they watch the movie as a momentary diversion on the road to the grave. Right. To do an Aquit thing. It doesn't really stick around with them. And there are good things that we've watched that we remember, you know, just because we did a show about it doesn't mean that it should like, you know, stick around at the top of your mind forever. That would be, I mean, maddening, you know, people who can't forget things, they, you know, they're not happy. So,
yeah.
I think it's just the
grand
good
totality of things I've forgotten.
Yeah.
That ends
up
making it, feel wild.
It's just because we record so much. There's so much evidence of that stuff, you know.
Yeah. We got this. This is just serious business talk about Sad Dog Suffering. We can talk about whatever we want.
Uh-huh.
We got I don't usually look at Patreon exit interviews because they bum me out.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, not in the market for it. But somebody literally was just like, you guys make too much stuff. And they were mean about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's maybe a point. Like, mm-hmm. every few years, I think, like, yeah, we kind of do.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if we're kind of hurting ourselves this, because I know I'm hurting myself. I wonder if we're hurting the business with it.
Maybe.
You know, like, if it's bad for the network.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was just very curious about that. I never really considered that. And we've talked about it. We've been really open about, like, the only way we knew how to add value early was to do more stuff.
Yeah, was to do more stuff.
Wild effects on my mental health, where the way that my brain works, I don't know if this is the way your brain works, but when something becomes maintenance,
mm-hmm.
It no longer releases the accomplishment chemicals.
Yeah.
So just doing the show and keeping, you know, putting out something every day and recording 4 to 5 days a week, mm-hmm. doesn't feel like an accomplishment. It just feels like the minimum. So I'm constantly thinking of myself as lazy or like,
oh God, I mean,
non-productive.
100%.
It's like, yeah, that's not true, but it's just because there's so much that we do in it. And my brain just incorporates it into like brushing my teeth.
Yeah, no, that's keeping your head above water, right? Nobody, throws you a parade for keeping your head above water. Oh yeah, I feel like I feel like a useless piece of shit.
The time.
Yeah,
like wake up during a day and like I dare to like, you know, I watch like one television show that's not for work, that's not nostalgia therapy, like every 3 months, and I'm like, God, I'm wasting my fucking time. I can't believe I spent all day. I watched 2 episodes of Squid Game in one day, as opposed to getting ahead on work. There are games I know that I'm going to be playing in February that I'm not starting on. What's wrong with me?
It's there. It's waiting for me. It's just going to get a hide out in a little corner. It's going to come out and fucking attack me. And that's why I got to look at my calendar.
All the future is tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, if it's due in like 3 months from now, it may as well be due tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. It's real fucked up. Yep. I don't know how to shake it.
I don't know how to shake it either. And I feel bad talking about it because we do have a dream job, you know? And
yeah. No, it's a privilege, whining. Right? It's just the real, the real experience.
Yeah.
Wouldn't trade it. Okay. You know, right. I don't want to go like work in an office instead.
Yeah. No. I was dusting my bookshelves. I have a big wall of bookshelves in my living room. Right. So it's mm-hmm. a privilege. I've always
Can I do a service real quick for the NPCs?
Okay.
Were you wearing a Loli maid outfit while dusting?
No. I was wearing what I usually wear around the house. Basketball
Black
shorts.
Strap.
full Sentai suit. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was basketball shorts, black t-shirt, slippers. Mm-hmm. But no, I was dusting my shelves, right? Because, you know, you got to dust. Mm-hmm. And cobwebs and stuff, and just looking wistfully at all the books I have read and all the games I just kind of started. It's like,
yeah. Oh man. Yeah. My library, like my bookshelves are all in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
And it is bleak.
Yep.
Do like, I like having them to look at, but every single time I'm like, God, there's that.
Yep.
That could be a path. And it's not even, I wish it was just lack of time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that it might actually be at least in part lack of time, but the way my brain transmutes it is it's just me using my time stupidly.
Yeah. No.
So every single time I'm like looking at, and that's not good time for me to just like browse through Twitter to make myself mad and stuff.
Right.
But
right.
I think I greatly exaggerate how much time I do that, mm-hmm. and underplay how much time I spend just doing the maintenance of like keeping the machine running,
mm-hmm.
you know? There's a long way of me saying I relate to what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, the good thing is that we're in control, you know, everything can be renegotiated. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's just, and nobody freak out. Like, this is us saying we're getting rid of stuff, but it's just been on my mind lately because I've been feeling structurally thin.
Uh-huh.
The last couple of weeks.
Same.
And it was so dumb. Like, the thing that made me feel really stretched thin, mm-hmm. was remembering that we're covering Fallout 4 and that I hadn't started it.
Right.
Even though we're like a month out from when we record that, a month, mm-hmm. is a long time. And then me and Will are doing an elaborate, more elaborate recording. We're doing something stupid, and it requires some extra time.
But when aren't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, more than the maintenance, though.
Okay, all right.
It's extra. And it's just like, it'll take a day. Mm-hmm. It'll just be, you know, half a day or something like that. But my brain just like, you know, started leaking out of my ears.
It's real akin to and I swear to God that I have professional help for anxiety, all this stuff. It's real akin to travel anxiety, like a lot of the time, you know, if I know that I have a trip coming up, or fuck that, even like, okay, I need to stay over at my parents' place because somebody needs to be in the house. I'm like, grandma, you know, take care of her, right? It's good to have somebody around, right? Like, okay. Just like that, knowing that's coming out 2 weeks, I might as well just be doing that thing for all of those 2 weeks. And so all of the obligations of the future is not just that I'm carrying around the stones that represent, you know, like what I got to be moving right now. It's like I am pre-carrying around, or not even that. I'm carrying around something that weighs exactly as much as the stones I'm eventually going to have to carry, just because I know I'm eventually going to have to carry it.
And it never goes away or anything.
No.
Because we keep a general pace of knowing, you know, roughly what we're doing about 6 months out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a wild thing. Mm-hmm. And some of it is, I think, like a lot of it is the job and anxiety and stuff. I think some of it is aging. Like when I talk to my cohort, like people who are my age.
Yeah.
They have similar, you know, kind of things. So I think there is part of it that just like my brain is less good at handling it. I'm like a little bit less agile.
Yeah.
In terms of figuring out kind of coping mechanisms that are effective.
Yeah.
For this sort of thing.
No, I mean, it's funny because I feel bad whining about it or doing anything that could even be considered to be whining about it, because it sounds like the expectation is like, oh, I should be happy. I deserve it. Right. I deserve not to feel like this. I'm like, no, everybody feels like this all the time.
Yeah. You feel like what you feel like. You don't feel the way you deserve.
Right.
If people felt the way they deserved, horrible people would be unhappy.
Right. Right.
And they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, you ever seen like Jeff Bezos's weird blank smile? Like, I believe that is genuine. I think he's legitimately like real happy to be him.
Him in his fucking cowboy hat, unchanged by seeing the curvature of the earth. Yeah.
Yep. I think that he's legitimately, I mean, it's fun to believe that he's sad inside because it would be more just. I don't think it's true though.
Oh no.
I think that guy's happier than a pig in shit.
How do you sleep at night on a pile of money with many beautiful women? I don't think that's how Jeff Bezos sleeps. He's too much of a fucking nerd to do that. But I'm just quoting the Simpsons line, right?
He could if you'd like to.
Yeah.
Sleeping on a pile of money wouldn't be comfortable either.
Well, no, money fucking stinks. It's awful. A whole bunch of it one row or what? Yeah, sucks.
Yeah, you get paper cuts that would immediately become infected.
Mm-hmm. You know what comes with what comes with a bunch of money? Silverfish.
Yeah. Yep. Or silverfish spray, which is also not good to sleep on.
Yeah. You know? Probably withdrawn from the old future sickness bank there. You know, probably not the best thing to be breathing in your night.
If I had to sleep on a pile of money, I would want to shred it up and put it in an uncomfortable mattress.
Okay.
And then put a regular mattress on top of that.
Oh, okay.
I think I can handle that.
Yeah. That would probably be the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, sleep on $500,000, but you can do anything you want to the money itself to make it work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Squid Game 2. it's a chilling metaphor.
Oh God. I don't know.
It's we're in a weird situation with this game for the show, because we already covered this game.
We did, yeah.
And this is very faithful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's not a whole lot. We talked a lot about Max Payne. Mm-hmm. It was early in the show's in the network's run.
Yeah,
you know,
and by so early in the network's run, you mean like 3 years in, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Solidly in the first third of the show. Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And like they're it's kind of like making fun of a clown to a certain degree. Like it knows exactly what it's doing too. And I'm saving all of my noir thoughts for when we talk about Everybody Comes to Hank's. You know?
Sure. Yeah. Which would ordinarily be a week out, and you'd just be saving those thoughts a week in advance, mm-hmm. just to go back to like this. We were recording, we're doubling up on those to get ahead for Thanksgiving, but mm-hmm. ordinarily, you know.
So. Yeah. So I don't, you know, the noir thoughts are not building up, pressure. And then I think about mm-hmm. Remedy, and then I think about like all of the Alan Wake rehabilitation that was happening around the time that the remaster came out, and mm-hmm. then how like you saw those articles, and then it was nothing.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, the short attention span of, it's not just us, but of the world mm-hmm. is really wild.
Yeah.
You know, because that was a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Like when that remake was coming out, everyone was talking about it, and now literally no one cares. Like a new Far Cry game came out.
Mm-hmm. Has Giancarlo Esposito in it? Yeah,
yeah. As little fanfare as I've ever seen a game from a studio that big ever have. Mm-hmm. Like it disappeared from the news so quickly.
It disappeared like that Call of Duty Future Warfare or whatever that had Kevin Spacey in it.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, as opposed to it being a thing where these minor miracles of product of art and entertainment are kind of treasured. It's just a sluice.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've gone from a candy that you chew and swallow to a sucker that everyone gets a lick at, you know, like the community sucker in the super spreader town.
It's just a big old jawbreaker tied to a pole in the center of town. Mm-hmm. Like everybody gets a lick. Yep.
Yeah. You flip it around like a tether ball, and everyone holds out their tongue. Just have the tether ball pass their tongue once.
Oh man.
Yeah.
You have somebody managing the process, making sure it wears evenly so it's always spherical.
Yeah. Just somebody adjusting heads, putting them in different places. That'd be a cool, fun circle of hell. Like just a bunch of disembodied heads around a tether ball of a jawbreaker. And then you just pan over, the devil like shrugs.
Hey, sorry. Lucifer, how's it going? Yeah. Big fan. Yeah. So got a question for you. What's this a punishment for? I don't know, man. I feels like every torture that I do, I just forget it. You know, like a month after it comes out, and I used to take joy in it, but maybe it's just because of the job. Maybe it's because I've been alive for eternity or 6,000 years, depending on which version of that asshole's book you believe.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like I need to like work it back. Like we got 9 circles, and I think that maybe I could get away with 5, but you don't want to disappoint Malbolgia.
Yeah, nobody's really concentrating on some of those circles.
Yeah.
A lot of overlap. I had the worst candy I've ever had.
Ooh.
In my life recently.
Okay.
That was a hard candy. So I subscribe to the Universal Yums box.
Yep.
So I get a box of snacks from a different country every month.
Potentially some low cards.
Oh, well, so they did a special Halloween one.
Okay.
That was just gathering their like weirdest snacks.
Okay.
Weirdest candies from their history. And it came with a game with like a spinner and cards and stuff. And there are a bunch of different games you could do.
Okay.
Me and my girlfriend played it. And we did the one where you spin a candy, you eat it, and you have to try to keep a straight face. And the other person has to guess whether you like it or not, which is real fun.
All right. You know?
And there's a bunch of middling ones and some stuff that's just not to my taste, but not a war crime. But there was one that neither of us could finish, like even in the spirit of the game. And it was a hard candy that was flavored like salted licorice.
Oh, that was going to be my guess, because if that's the game, they would have to include enough stuff that was like, let's say pungent enough that it would cause a involuntary facial reaction. Right. And the only thing I could think of that would do that is the salted licorice, because that's like a challenge candy. Like people will like bring that back from, from Finland or from one of those countries up there. I apologize for getting that wrong. But they would bring it back and then say like, all right, here we go. Like it's like literally a YouTube challenge. So you had one of those and it was salted licorice flavored.
Because I've had salted licorice before. Mm-hmm. Like there's a place that has fancy licorices in Portland that I've gotten a fancy salted licorice, and I think they're kind of interesting. Like I don't like black licorice flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I think the salted ones are kind of interesting. This is just a tiny sphere that just tastes like salt. Like you can't even taste the licorice of it.
No.
Neither of us could finish it. It was so fucking disgusting.
I hate that.
it's really gross.
I hate unexpected saltiness. Especially in something that's supposed to be sweet, which isn't to say like, oh, salted caramel, blah. Like that's fine. I understand mixing flavor profiles. It's the unexpected salt that is our unexpected degree of saltiness that gets under my skin.
It was just a black orb, so we didn't know exactly what it was, you know, when we grabbed it.
Oh, so it wasn't labeled. It was literally just like, hey, here's a mystery. So that's probably part of it, too, is like you pop it in and just like, ooh, I love root beer. This is root beer flavored. Oh, no, don't smile. They'll know.
So some of them were labeled and some of them weren't. So
that's
this
a weird
the,
game.
The, yeah, it is a weird game. The best one is a product called Choco Boom from Italy, which is a chocolate sphere that has Pop Rocks in it, and it's super good. That fucking works.
Were the Pop Rocks were they like citrus flavored like Pop Rocks usually are, or were they chocolate Pop Rocks?
They weren't. It was hard to discern the Pop Rock flavor.
Okay,
it was mostly about like a textural mouth explosion thing.
You know what? Those were featured in an episode of Bob's Burgers. And I thought
Choco Boom?
Yeah. Or something very similar to that. It was Pop Rocks added to a candy. And I thought they were making it up, but it sounds like it's an actual ass thing. Huh.
Italians, man.
Huh.
I mean that sounds
interesting and good, but I love Pop Rocks though. Oh, it's been forever since I've had a fucking Pop Rock.
Yeah. It's weird how candy used to come in like a packet like that.
Yeah.
Like just a little sleeve that you dump in your mouth.
Well, there are candies. We're back talking about snacks, and that's fine. But there are candies
Snack
that.
Spain. yeah, this is another one of our segments, Snack Spain, where we talk about the worst candies and best candies we've had.
Salted licorice. It was the worst thing I could imagine.
Salted licorice killed my wife and baby.
But like there are candies that are so associated with the venue that you can't find them anywhere else. Like I defy you to find Sour Patch Kids outside of a movie theater.
They're everywhere here, man.
Are they?
Like, I can get Sour Patch Kids from the Fly Pantry.
I can get you Sour Patch Kids by 4 p.m. Dude.
Like, it's fuck a Sour Patch.
maybe that was incorrect. Snow Caps, then.
Snow Caps are one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Dollar stores and movie theaters.
Yes. And I associate Pop Rocks. There is a kind of candy that is really only ever sold at, like, concession stands. I associated when I played like little league, when I did like T-ball and slow pitch as a little kid. If my squid game was, you got to find a place to buy a ring pop. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, at least somebody's going to get my 100,000. So
yeah. Yep. I'll die. Right. This is unrelated, but because we're recording two episodes today, and this is the one where the subject matter is less inspiring. Can I tell you another real quick
thing
that happened to me?
Yeah.
Yesterday, an unhoused person, so no hate, like this person clearly having a hard time, mental health problems. I was waiting for a bus going to game night, got up in my face, like, where his breath spit on me. Like, ooh. I wiped this man's spit off my face and off my glasses.
Yeah.
And demanded to know how I was a Korean man in a white boy skin and why I was still there after his wife had killed me.
Oh, wow.
And I had no fucking clue what to do.
I mean, that has really menacing energy. I would have been afraid. Like
I was a little bit afraid.
Yeah.
Like it was broad daylight and there were people around.
Well, he's saying you should be dead and he's making an accusation of you.
He thinks it was inhabiting my body, home invaded him
from what
I could pick up, and his wife killed that person.
Oh.
And he was like, no, you're still here and you're inside this white boy's body.
Oh no.
It was so, and he I had my headphones in, I didn't hear him at first. So he like grabbed my shoulder to like get my attention. And then he, before he walked away, he kind of hit me not hard, but kind of like hit me in the shoulder in a way that was not. You know, hey, slugger.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get reborn in your body next time. It wasn't like that. It was aggressive.
He hit you like he was trying to hurt you. Yeah.
Like not in a, full force of his punch.
He wanted, but he wanted you to know he was there and that he,
It was an aggressive action.
Yeah.
Ah, geez, it was fucking wild. It'd been a long time since that happened.
Yeah. Oh, that poor guy.
Huh. Yeah. I felt real bad for the dude. And I, you know, since this is the show where we discuss our moral quandaries, like, I was like, should I have tried to like talk him down and try to get him help or something? But I was really scared and I didn't.
Right.
You know, because I didn't want him to kill me thinking I was somebody else or like get into a fight with me. And then it's like, well, then I'm beating up on a mentally ill.
Or the authorities are going to get involved, you know, if
like kill him. Which is what would happen in Portland. Like he's a white dude.
Yeah.
So he might not get killed. Mm-hmm. But if I called the cops the way that Portland works with homeless people, there's a really good chance I would have just ended up murdered by proxying that dude.
Yeah. No,
he didn't deserve to be murdered.
No, he was having a bad time. No, if I am at all qualified to give any absolution on this, I think that what you did by just kind of walking away, the only play there is to de-escalate, you know, because he was agitated. Even if you tried to reach out to city services, because of the way that works, I imagine that would still involve an officer and fuck Portland police. Yeah, it is regrettable, but like there wasn't much you could do. I think, you know, if he was having an episode to make him see reason, especially if he was seeing you as somebody else. No, I think that it would have been nice if there was more to do, but I don't see what your options were that would not have ultimately been really bad for that dude.
It was very shocking.
Yeah.
I was really shook by it. I had, you know, I did not expect it.
Yeah.
And the elaborate backstory of that he had imprinted onto me was,
did he explain this to you? Did he say like, hey, you're the guy who broke into my house, or did you have to piece it together because like by what he said?
I shit you not, like in a beginning of the mouth of madness way, the first thing he did was grab my shoulder, turn me and say, how is it you're still alive?
Okay.
Which is a fucked up thing to have a stranger say to you in an aggressive voice.
Out of nowhere and immediately like.
Good question, bud. maybe I'm not doing enough. This is really fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, I just could be. And also, you know, you're a helpful guy. If somebody asks you a question, you want to help. So like, I don't know, but you know, so there's the knee jerk reaction. Like, hey, don't touch me. Please, sir. Respect my space. But also like, well, okay. If you want an answer, I can try, but that's going to be a pretty long conversation, huh?
Yeah. clean living. You know, I don't know. I'm slightly younger than I look.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it was
very frustrating. I didn't even really say anything. I just kind of like stared at him and listened until he walked away.
Yeah. Yeah. De-escalation, I think, is your only play. I think is not to match his energy, because he would likely have just continued ramping up.
Yeah. I feel like they're like the saintly thing to do that people do. I see a lot in movies and stuff would have been to like buy him a sandwich and learn his story. And whenever I don't do something like that, I have this weird little twinge of guilt. Like it's not logical, you know, like I know that's not my responsibility or whatever. And like,
yeah,
he doesn't deserve whatever hardship has happened to him, but I also didn't deserve to get yelled at. Like nobody wants to get yelled at.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great things about being adult is I don't get yelled at.
Yeah.
Really. like I have nerds on the internet sometimes who will be mean to me, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. No, it's that is a weird, like, to me, the whole, you know, buy a sandwich and, you know, let's turn this into a Weekends at Maury's five people you meet in heaven kind of situation. That is not. That is not real. You would have just opened yourself up to because he was seeing you as a different person. Like,
yeah,
engaging would have only agitated him further. Probably it'd be nice, but you know, you would not have been doing him a favor. Again, to my mind, I have no, you know, you have more experience interacting with unhoused people than I do. So
yeah, I don't know what the correct if there was a correct solution for that.
Probably not.
Really. You know, it was just, did not expect it.
Yeah.
And now like the, again, not the theme of this episode is I'm not centering my hardships over other people's.
No, no.
But now it's like, I know that dude's haunt and it's okay. a bus stop I use. So I'm going to like end up using a different bus stop that's further away because I don't want this to happen again. Like we are the little tiny domino effects mm-hmm. that happens. Like every time I stand at that corner, I'm going to be thinking about that dude rolling up unexpected.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, and that's a very convenient corner for me. There's a lot mm-hmm. of stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, odds are probably, what might happen is he will not remember you. If he was having an episode, also it's fall, and when seasons change, people's habits change if they don't have shelter.
Yeah,
you know. True. So if he's gonna go somewhere more comfortable, it might, you know, you might not run into him anymore. Hopefully, you can find someplace comfortable.
There's the odds of that happening,
right?
And they are up against the odds that I hatch like an egg into a Korean murderer.
I mean, what if he was telling
like
you the truth?
Like my skin just falls off and yeah, he was telling the truth.
Well, what if he saw something that you couldn't see?
Yeah, that would be weird.
I mean,
I think I you know, I really hope that doesn't happen to me.
Well, just all of a sudden you have memories of being killed during a B&E. That'd be horrible.
I was thinking more that like my skin, like I hatch into the, like, it's literally I'm wearing a skin. I don't know.
Oh yeah. You find a zipper one day and boom, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places on my body I've never really seen with my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, not a lot, but there are some, there could be a zipper there.
Yeah.
You know? Who knows? If they can hide the zipper on a Teddy Ruxpin, they can hide a zipper on a Gary. You
know? Oh man. I'm sorry that both of you went through that. That sounds like a very uncomfortable situation.
It was no good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, the kind of thing that Max Payne might have to deal with.
Maybe. I can't remember how Max Payne handled dealing with people experiencing homelessness. I'm guessing by the era and by the fact that Rockstar was involved, probably not well.
Yeah, most likely executed them. One of them might have been like a soothsayer in a cutscene that didn't get executed.
Right, right.
But if you were not in a cutscene, it's open season.
Yep. You exist. You exist to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for sponsoring this.
Mm-hmm.
Whom's was it again?
This was Vidyasaur. Thank you, Vidyasaur. Sorry we got maudlin during your episode. Hopefully that was enjoyable.
It was very Max Payne inspired.
It was, yeah.
Like, he's a maudlin guy. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, they're not going to do, like, a Max Payne game where he basically hangs out on the Animal Crossing island and, like, collects bananas.
Yeah, and just sits there and vibes fulfilled.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, not going to
Thanos' farm or whatever.
Not going to be the case. But yeah, thank you, Vidyasaur. If you would like to be like Vidyasaur and request a game or demand a game, go to Patreon. I believe we're booked out through the end of the year. But if you get in, a request during this year, we'll get you two next time. Do not worry. Mm-hmm. And if you have backed and you haven't heard from me, you'll get an email from me with the form. Yeah. Think that's about it. Other mm-hmm. than you don't have to back at that level, you can just back on Patreon and get extra episodes of the show, get bonus shows and things of that nature. Leave ratings and reviews, tell your friends. Sorry, I hogged all the admin, Gary.
It's okay. It's my move.
Okay.
So what should they do until next time?
Until next time, succumb to guppy energy.